It's time for the Phenology Show. And it's a good thing because, I was looking yesterday. I mentioned earlier that I had 120 notes over the last 7 days. And I made a list last night of all of the things that I had notes on. And I want to cover a little bit of that before I actually get into discussing some of the things that happened. But for example, among the trees that I noticed that had changes over the last week, trembling aspen, birch, box elder, black ash, bur oak, let's see, choke cherries, cottonwoods, crab apples, horse chestnut, ironwood, red maple, red oak, mountain ash, silver maple, and weeping willows. And in the shrubs, American hazel, beaked hazel, blueberry, fly honeysuckle, juneberry, leather leaf, leather wood, mountain maple, nannyberry, pagoda dogwood, red osier dogwood, roundleaf dogwood, pin cherry, prickly gooseberry, raspberry, blackberry, smooth rose, and speckled alder. Among the flowers, Canada columbine, several varieties of sedges, blue flag, common tansy, cup plant, dandelion, dwarf raspberries, horsetails, including field, meadow, and forest, jack in the pulpit, lady fern, ostrich fern, interrupted fern, bracken fern, large leafed asters, cowslips, large flowered trilliums, nodding trilliums, Pennsylvania sedge, woodrush, hepatica, trailing arbutus, sessile leaf bellworts, vetch, starflower. Ah, man, oh man, oh man. White violets, and wood anemone. And then among the insects and animals, goldfinch, redstart, oriole, hummer, junco, osprey, ovenbird, trumpeter swans, yellow warblers, and rose-breasted grosbeaks, spring azure butterflies, green darner dragonflies, wood ticks, deer ticks, and in the frogs and toads, wood frogs, peepers, chorus frogs, tree frogs, northern leopard frogs, and American toads. And those all were in my notes this week. But I'm not going to belabor you with all of that. I'm going to tell you, for example, that the trembling aspen burst forth in leaf on the 13th this past week. They also burst forth in leaf on the 13th in 2008. The latest ever was 2014 when they burst forth on the 17th of April of May, and in 2013, which was historically our latest year, our latest spring, they broke bud on the 14th, and then they broke bud on the 16th of May in 1996. So we had 13 this year, 14 in 13, 16 in 96, and 17 in 14. But on the early side, in 2012, they broke bud on the 2nd of April, in 2010 on the 15th of April, and again in 87 on the 15th of April. So they have had a few early springs as well. This past week, I noted that the sessile-leaved bellwort, this is a little flower, 5-6 inches tall, very pale yellow flower hanging down, belongs to the genus Uvularia, and you have a uvula in the back of your throat, and I'd touch mine right now, but then I wouldn't be able to speak very clearly. The bellworts are up and blooming, and their average is the 12th of May, and this year it was on the 16th. It was also on the 16th in 2020. So earliest or latest ever, 22nd of May in 13, and the earliest ever, the 26th of April in 10, and the 28th of April in 1998. My little patch of trailing arbutus that normally blooms on the 5th of May had its first blooms on the 16th of May. And June berries, which normally are in a breaking leaf bud on the 21st of April, did not break leaf bud until a week ago when we last talked. So lots of delay there. No flowers yet on the June berry, though I think that they will bloom before we speak again on the 24th. They're going to be 2 weeks late or 10 days late, but the June berries should begin to bloom this next week. And they will be big white flowers. Well, the flowers are only an inch across. But the whole tree is going to bloom on the same day. And so they're all going to bloom at once, each individual tree. You may get a tree that blooms, you know, on, let's say, on Thursday, and you may get one that blooms on Friday. But when they bloom, they're all going to bloom at once. So the whole tree will be in flower. There'll be a mass of white flowers in the woods, and those will be June berries. Now, there is another white flower that's going to come out about the same time, and that is the plum, Canada or American plum. And those, the difference between the two, they bloom almost simultaneously. Some years it's the plum first and then the June berry. Other years it's the June berry first and then the plum. But they're white flowers. The plums grow pretty much in thickets. So you're going to have a whole patch of these, like 40 or 50 stems of plums growing in the same spot. In the case of Juneberry, you might have 5 to maybe 10 stems in the same spot. So the Juneberry is going to be a kind of a small clump or a single tree, and the plums are going to be a thicket. There'll be like lots and lots and lots of them. It'll stretch on for several yards. So that's how you tell the difference between the plums and the pin cherries from a distance. You get up close and the flowers are pretty much markedly different, but that will become more available or more apparent if you get up and inspect them. The other flower that's going to come out, so it's plums and June berries pretty much simultaneously. Usually within 4 or 5 days, the pin cherry blooms, and another 4 or 5, maybe a week, the June berry or the choke cherry blooms. But so it's Juneberry, plums, pin cherries, and then choke cherries is the order of bloom. Because we are late, because spring is a couple weeks late, it's going to compress. And one of the easiest ways to see that compression is to watch the trembling aspen and the big tooth aspen. In a normal year, the trembling aspen bloom on the 30th of April, and the big tooth aspen blooms on the 20th of May. So there's 3 weeks between them. This year, well, in other years when spring has been late like this, that time between leaf out of the trembling aspen and the big tooth aspen compresses. And it's been as short as 7 days in 2013, for example. I expect that it'll be somewhere in the range of maybe 10 to, well, say 9 or 10 to about 12 to 15 days this year. And the big tooth aspen have already flowered. The catkins have fallen. The male catkins have fallen out of the big tooth aspens. And it'll only be a short period of time before we start seeing leaves on the big tooth aspens. Now, the way to tell the difference when they're leafing out like that is that the leaves on the big tooth aspens are very, very, very pale green. You see the leaves on the trembling aspens right now. They are grape green or even greener, yellower green than that. They're bright green. The big tooth aspens are going to be really subtle and pale, kind of a sage green, and they will gradually green up as they mature, but they'll start off pretty white. And so if you have these aspens that are leafing out with these whiter looking leaves, they're probably big tooth aspens. And I would expect that since the trembling aspens leafed out on the 13th of May, I would expect the big tooth aspens to leaf out sometime around the 20th to maybe the 23rd or 24th. So I expect sometime before we talk again next week that the big tooth aspen will probably throw out some leaves as well. Another plant that is in flower right now and relatively easy to spot is the Canada Fly Honeysuckle. It's our native honeysuckle. It has twin yellow flowers, and the leaves are pretty prominent. So besides the elderberry, which has purplish-looking flowers and leaves right now, the shorter, greener plant with leaves in the forest is likely to be a honeysuckle. So if you're walking on a trail or if you're in your yard and you're looking into the woods a little bit and you see this 4 to 5 foot high shrub with fairly large green leaves on it right now, today, it's probably honeysuckle. If you walk over and look at it, if it is a honeysuckle, it'll be opposite branched and it'll have these twin yellow flowers, and the flowers are sort of tubular shaped. They're like the bell on a trumpet, and they will be lovely and a very necessary source of nectar for a lot of critters that are out right now, including bumblebees, paper wasps, all of the butterflies of the spring. That would be morning cloaks, Compton, Milberts, and the two commas. Now, there is a new butterfly on the scene right now that I saw this past week that is less than an inch across and bright blue when it's in flight. The undersides of the wings are sort of gray, but the top of the wing is bright blue. And that butterfly is called the spring azure. And the spring azure was about a week late this year in emerging. The thing about the spring azure is that it is the first butterfly to emerge from a chrysalis. And for those of you who are technically minded, a chrysalis is a cocoon, except that when it's a butterfly inside, it's a chrysalis, and if it's a moth inside, it's a cocoon. So the spring azure butterfly emerged from chrysalis this past week on Thursday. I'm sorry, I first saw it on Thursday. So that's happening. If you're looking, I was at a birthday party for my neighbor Marvin Beer last night, and one of the young ladies that was there and I were having a conversation, and we talked about chokecherries, and she said, "I love chokecherries, but I have trouble finding them." And I said, "Well, now is an easy time to find chokecherries, because they're just breaking their leaf buds. Their leaves are an inch long or thereabouts. The leaves are markedly reddish, sort of a bronzy green color. And if you're looking at bushes with the Juneberry or the chokecherry has a dark gray bark with whitish-looking lenticels in it, little openings in the bark, and it has these leaves that are decidedly green, tempered with red, and that makes them pretty easy to find this time of year. So if you're out looking around and you see these reddish-looking leaves, it's probably chokecherry. The other thing about chokecherry that's kind of interesting is that it gets black knot, and black knot is a fungus that causes a growth on the stem that looks like dog excrement was wrapped around the stem of the branch, and that's black knot, and that will help you to find chokecherry as well, because chokecherry is remarkably susceptible to that. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. The world is changing as we speak. And if you are thinking about phenology, this is a perfect time of year to get out and start identifying a few plants in your yard and start writing down what they're doing. And by golly, next year, you'll have that data with you and you'll know whether the next spring is earlier or later than the present one. That's our phenology show for this week. Stay tuned. More to come.
You can catch Phenology at our website, along with the student Phenology, KAXE.org, and sign up for a Phenology podcast. Soon to come, regular Phenology newsletter.
Yeah, we're working on it. I'm not working
Me
on
either.
It. We have a Phenology coordinator, and
That's
she
right.
is working on it, and we are so grateful. It's so nice to have this extra help because, boy, with 120 notes to process, I have my hands full.
There you go. And you've probably noticed that there's lots more student reports. That's because there's been trainings around the state, thanks to funding from the LCCMR, the Legislative Citizen Commission on Resources.
Minnesota Resources.
We thank them for that. And our partners are the University of Minnesota. And in this next 2 years, one of the things that'll develop will be a map, an interactive map of Phenology.
Right. You'll be able to click on the city or town near you and check out the records that exist for that area and learn from those records and maybe do some timing for your looking for morels, for example, or just getting out if you want to see the June berries in bloom. That data will be available, and you can contact the whole source. And this is not available yet, but will be soon.
That's right. So. One of the many things coming as we continue to be the voice and eyes and ears for nature.
And nose. I didn't mention. The other night when the moon got eclipsed,
yeah.
I was out photographing, and my dog is out there with me, and she hears something over by the garage, and she runs off and bark, bark, bark. And when she comes back, the atmosphere in the area around the dog had changed. It had a rather pungent and distinctly skunk-like smell.
Oh, boy.
So at about 11:30 at night, I was the dog and I were taking a shower. She was getting a bath of apple cider vinegar and water, and I was just getting a bath to wash the dog hair off me.
Did it work?
Yeah. Okay. She first of all, she didn't get a bad dose. I mean, she obviously got close and got sprayed, and then backed up and didn't engage because she wasn't overwhelmingly skunky.
Okay.
She was just skunky, and she would have been in a house. She would have been noticeable.
Yeah.
Gosh. You can't have too much fun.
That's right.
I think of all the nights I went to bed at 9 o'clock and all the fun I missed. Holy mackerel.